Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener Salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Sil.
And it's a new month. It's April. Yay! And we want to give a shout out first to start off to Joe Bowen, our favorite play-by-play announcer. His happy birthday to Joe. He's 70 years old. I can't believe that. But anyways, wow. what I did was I watched the, Auston Matthews rookie, like when he first came in his first game, mm-hmm. and he got the four goals. I rewatched that today. So,
mm-hmm. Looking good, Joe. Yeah. Sounding good.
Yeah. So happy birthday, Joe.
So we're just going to get started with some impressive individual record stats that happened since our last podcast. So first off, we want to recognize Jason Spezza, who got into some elite company by getting into the NHL's top 100 scorers of all time with his 960th point versus the Jets last Friday. Spezza is now just 5 points behind Nick Backstrom with 6 points behind Maurice the Rocket Richard. So way to go, Vintage.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely in the company. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and continuing with the, individual record stats, Mitch Marner got his 335th point versus the Oilers on March 29th.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah, and yeah, he passed Bill Derlego. That it made me so old when I heard, not made me so old, but it made me think I was so old when I heard the name Bill Derlego. He was one of my favorite centermen with Rick Vive, John Anderson as the line. But anyways, Mitch with his 335th point passed Bill Derlego to join the top 30 in points in franchise history. Wow. So yeah, so that was huge. And then another major milestone that's coming up soon will be for our captain, John Tavares, and he is 3 points away from his 800th point. So
wow.
That should be happening within the next week or so anyways, or a couple of weeks, you would think.
Well, hopefully it'll be faster than that, and that means that he'll be getting things clicking if that does happen that way.
Yeah, for sure.
We also want to give a shout out to the Leafs PA announcer, Mike Ross, who listened to our podcast and gave us a thumbs up. We want to thank him for taking the time to listen and giving us his positive feedback. That means so much to us, and we really, really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. And another highlight for us was that our podcast was featured in a newsletter from one of the companies that we use to record this podcast. It's big for us to get more visibility, and we posted this on our Facebook and Twitter page, so you can check it out there. Our handle is at LTL1917.
Mm-hmm. So we're recording this on Monday, a week away from the trade deadline, which is April 12th. Kyle Dubas hasn't really made any moves yet, which I'm so surprised about. Players have come back from injury, which has meant that we had to make some roster moves in the form of waivers, and we lost a couple of players. So there's a lot of stuff to get into in this episode. So we're going to start off with the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we're going to light up the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel. And we're changing things up a little bit with a segment that we're calling the third period. And we're still going to talk a bit about upcoming games, but we're also going to have use this opportunity to, as an open segment, to just discuss the Leafs and any other topics that are related to hockey or anything else that we feel like we want to talk about. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
Ah.
All right. So the good, the bad, the ugly. I'm thinking I think I picked this guy already once for my good, but it's Zach Hyman. I mean, how many times? I'm actually feeling nervous. I think the guy is pricing himself out of our salary cap range with everything that he's done, but and is doing. But that's what it is. He does everything. I think he's best suited with Marner and Matthews. Obviously, like, he's been up and down the lineup, though. He plays everywhere, and every line that he plays on seems to be fantastic. He plays on the PK. His worth ethic is unbelievable. And the thing is, I guess there's a goal that he scored that, like, he just wrapped around the net and he goes down low. He in the offensive zone, and he always comes up with the puck. And I'm like, this guy, he's just unbelievable. I don't know.
Yeah. I agree with you that every time I hear somebody pump him up, I just feel this little pain in the pit of my stomach, because I don't want to see him go somewhere else. And the only thing I can hope for is that because he has so many personal interests in the city and lots of promotions that he's involved with, commercials and things like that, that they can just come to a reasonable amount that works for him and works for us. Like, I don't know. It's
hopefully
it's out of our hands, but for now, I guess we just have to enjoy him as much as possible.
Yeah. One nightmare, though, scenario that I heard today or yesterday was him being on the wing with Connor McDavid.
No, God.
Don't say that. That would be horrible.
Yeah, that would be horrible. Yeah. I wish that they could just lock him up before anything happens. But I guess even before the trade deadline, it's kind of hard to know where we sort of sit. So anyway,
it's not going to happen.
We just have to enjoy what we're seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
what's your good?
So my good actually is a team good. It's basically how our team performed against Winnipeg. So before, when we had that three game segment with them, we were looking at those games as a gauge to see how they stack up against Winnipeg, because we feel, especially, well, I don't know if you 100% feel this way, but I feel that they're probably going to be the team that we are sort of jockeying with for a position towards the end, to see, you know, where we stack up. And
First place, you mean?
Yeah, like for first place in our division. Yeah. And I think they might be our toughest competition also for the playoffs as well. Because their goaltending is so, so solid. Like, Edmonton's really is good also, and they have some really good players, but their goaltending is sort of suspect. But we didn't get it didn't turn out the way we had hoped against them in those first three games. And they played really hard. They drove the play. They dominated, by all accounts, most of the time, but we just couldn't get it done. Now, they've looked so different to me against them in these last two games. You know, very similar. We really dominated again, but this time we found ways to get the puck past Hellebuck, number one. But for me, they looked a little bit more organized, and somehow they were less sloppy. Like, they just seemed a little bit more machine-like in these
their
two
structures.
Wins.
What I wrote down for this was their structure. They kept their structure well.
100%.
In these last two games, they stuck to it, and they needed that. And I also think somehow they're managing to, like, neutralize, and I don't want to jinx it here, but somehow they're neutralizing Mark Scheifele.
Yeah.
That guy is a pretty good hockey player. And, and I don't want to say too much about it, but
well, it's interesting. It's sort of similar how they managed to kind of neutralize McDavid also, you know, when
yeah,
so they seem to have really good game plans against these top guys on these other teams. But for me, I was just, this was the gauge that I was looking for. And I came out of those two games feeling like much better about our chances against them if we were to meet up with them, and also, you know, how things might finish up for us.
And I also agree with you with regards to the Hellebuck thing. Like, that's mm-hmm. my main concern. But I don't know, I actually am more worried about the Habs than if we were to meet in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I'm more worried about them. But we'll get into that another time.
We'll see, because it's been so long since we played them, right? So
Yeah,
it is a little scary with them that I haven't really heard much talk about them. So,
well, no, because they were
out always
because
a little worrisome, and that's because of the COVID situation too, right?
Yeah, and that's why their situation is going to be different too, because they have a crazy schedule coming up. The Habs do. It's like they're playing every other night for the rest of the season, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just insane. So, who knows how that's going to go for them either? So,
Yeah. So let's move on to the bad.
So my bad was losing Vesey and Travis Boyd, Jimmy Vesey and Travis Boyd to waivers. I did have a good laugh, though. Somebody said Jim Benning is relying on the Leafs because he doesn't know how to pick players in the draft or trade himself. Because it was just crazy how Vancouver took both of them. I don't know. It was very odd anyways. But I just think losing both of these guys, like, it really put a hit on our depth there. And it was also funny that the next day after you pointed out that he was good.
Yeah.
He ends up getting claimed, right? So he must have been good, right? If we pointed that out.
Like, what the some kind of take I had, eh? Yeah. Maybe I shouldn't have said anything and gave somebody some ideas. I don't know. But I thought that was kind of hilarious too. That is like, really? Seriously? So,
Well,
so
I was laughing at that as well. But
part of me thinks that, though, that this is the reason why Dubas and co picks up guys like this, for this exact reason, so that these guys are reclamation projects, most of them. They come here because they know that they're going to get development time and time to play and time to showcase themselves, and then they're going to have renewed life in the league, and that's happening for them. It sucks that it's happening in season for us, as opposed to somebody else picking them up at the end of the year or whatever, or them being available for the trade deadline, for example, as a throw-in type of thing, or if somebody even wants somebody like that to, you know, bump up their roster like these two teams obviously did. So that's unfortunate, but the fact that we have players like this that are quality, that can be exposed in this way, that it's not going to hurt as much if you lose them. I think that's part of the rhyme of the reason, you know, for the fact that they signed guys like this, fringe players.
Yeah, and for the reclamation project, I mean, our final candidate probably would be Galchenyuk, right? Mm-hmm. Who's playing, to me, he's been really, like, Leafs have handled his situation perfectly, I think, the way
100%
he's been playing now, and finally got his first goal against the Flames.
I was so happy for that. But you know what? Now everyone's really, really into him and likes him, so we don't really want to see him go. So I'm not going to be having any hot takes about Galchenyuk for that reason.
All right. Okay, so what's your bad?
Okay, so my bad is the power play. I'm pretty sure that most people would agree that it's pretty much in the toilet at the moment. We are 0 for our last 28. From our high of around 42%, we have now dropped to 23.9%, which still is not horrible in the league. We're in 8th overall for that.
We started off good, sort of thing. Yeah. So that's why we're still.
Which seems to be what we kind of do. Every year it's kind of like this. And I wonder if they put the structure together so well they're super, super well prepared, you know, in training camp. We come out all gangbusters and it takes a while for the league to kind of catch up to what we do. And then once they do, then we're stymied. Then we don't seem to be able to make the adjustments. And I kind of wonder if now is the point where maybe we should loosen that structure a little bit and take the reins off of, you know, like Marner and Matthews, especially Marner, to allow him, you know, him or somebody like Willie to move around a little bit more and do some creating, because I think it's a little bit maybe too predictable now. And that's why it's not really kind of working. So
for sure. I mean, they have to find another. It's driving me crazy. We're going to see it again, I know. But this drop back pass going, like when they're going.
It seems to be their default when stuff's not
constant.
Working.
Constant. Yeah. Yes. It's all the time. Like, find another way. Like, there has to be a different way to get. Because basically, like most of the analysts are saying, like the other team is just loading up at the.
Totally.
Like, in the neutral zone.
Yeah. And then they
know
they
that
block
pass.
Everything. And you're giving them time when you're. Yeah, when they do that.
Yeah, exactly. Because you drop the puck back and then that other player back there has to go through all four guys. Like, how is that? Like, I don't
know. Well, and the other thing is they see the play developing.
Yeah.
You know, they see where everybody else is going or where they're supposed to go. So I don't know why they kind of drop into that all the time. The other issue is that we just don't get enough power plays. So like pretty low down. in the league. Well, you know, we're in like the bottom half for power plays taken. So we only have 109. Whereas if you compare that with a team like Colorado, who's in the top spot for power plays, they have 137. So that's a huge difference.
Yeah. And we mentioned this actually before we came on air. Probably Naz has a lot to do with that.
That's right.
And I mean, I heard today on the radio too for Matthews, when they're comparing players, let's say Matthews and McDavid has drawn like 23 penalties, whereas Matthews has only drawn 11. So that's like double the amount of penalties that he's drawn, right?
Do you think that has to do with, you know, one getting more into the dirty areas a little bit more than the other? Possibly. Or does he just shake off stuff? Because the other thing is Matthews is like a bigger guy. Like he's.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's McDavid's speed too, right?
Because
he's trying to blow by people. And then he
picks up a trip pretty easily.
Yeah.
And the thing is stuff like that happens so fast, right? Like because
tripping,
he's
holding.
Doing everything so fast. Yeah. So yeah, it's obviously style of play too. So
yeah.
So
the other thing I actually tweeted out, I said maybe we need to go old school and go back to the two defensemen and three forwards.
Right? Yeah, well, because nobody does that anymore. Well, that might throw people off.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Because the thing is Riley, because he's more of an offensive type defenseman anyways, he's more of a forward back there anyways. So yeah, why not have Brody back there to be the true kind of quarterback and Riley's more of a rover. And then I'm 100% behind that. Like, truth be told, they need to mix it up a little bit because, like I said, it's likely too predictable and people have kind of caught up to them.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, for the ugly, we have no ugly this time. So that's good because we got rid of all the ugly by ending the winless streak at 7 games. So all that ugliness is gone. So we got no ugly in this episode. So let's get to the positivity and roll the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel.
Yes, Chris. Let's start with number 3. We can't talk enough about this guy, Zach Hyman. He just does everything. He may not get all the points every night, but his work ethic alone makes him deserving of being on our highlight reel. He did have a nice goal back on March 20th versus the Flames, where he skated down the right side and went around the net and scored a beauty wraparound. But yeah, he's definitely the driver of a lot of our plays on whatever line he gets put on.
Yeah, that's one thing I think, like even they're saying to put him on the power play, but I mean, you can't have him everywhere. And if we did, I don't know how much time on ice he has already, but he'd be taking up everybody's ice time. But the guy is also a good author of children's books. So. So he does everything. He even writes books for kids, right? So that's good. So Going on to number two on the highlight reel, we have Mitch Marner. Magic Mitch, or Marner the Magician. He just keeps doing his thing. It was funny. I saw today on Sportsnet had a poll, and they said for last week, who is the the top player from last week? And they had the four players. Mm-hmm. They had Matthews, McDavid, Scheifele, and Marner. And guess who was last on that in the poll? And it was running for 24 hours already.
Well, obviously, it was Marner, probably, right?
It was Marner.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe it. I don't know. I just thought the guy doesn't get enough credit. And obviously, nobody's complaining about his contract this year.
No, that's for sure.
Yeah. And he's leading the team in points. And I guess the one highlight that stood out was versus the Jets last Wednesday, where he recorded his 13th multi-point game. And on the play, he fell down, got back up, avoided the Jets player. And while he was falling down, he somehow got the puck over to Austin Matthews. And then he gets it back for the tap in. It was just like, it was awesome the way he scored the goal. It was just, he's a magician. But anyway.
Yeah, and I guess people we just take him for granted, like the magic that he does out there. We're just so used to it now that it doesn't even faze us. But yeah. I don't know if he has to amp up the flash again. The one game in this past little segment that I thought he really had a lot of mojo was that next generation game. And for whatever reason, that next gen game, even without people there, he gets up for that game. I don't know why. Yeah. That seems to be one of his favorite ones. And luckily we have another one of those coming up shortly. He really was fired up. And I guess maybe that's what it would take for him to get noticed more is for his personality to be showing every night kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But the amount of grief he took for that contract.
Totally.
Oh my God.
He deserves a lot of love.
And yeah. Mm-hmm.
So number one on our highlight reel this time around is Jack Campbell. He got back-to-back shutouts and his record as of when we're recording this episode is 8-0-0 this season. So he's definitely done the job when he's been in the net. Now, the question with him always seems to be, you know, whether or not his body can take the wear and tear right now. But he's definitely, worth it when he's in there, because he's not only just getting the job done, he's also very exciting to watch. Like that one diving save he had in one of the other games recently was fantastic. So he's fun to watch. He's getting the job done. Everybody seems to love him. And, you know, he's obviously dealing with injury too. So that's the question.
Yeah, no. Okay. So I'm not going to say too much about it. I'm happy that he's doing well, obviously, because we want the team to win. That's the whole thing. And he's been giving us more than that opportunity to win every night. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about the goalie situation a lot. But I'm still worried about the injury for both him and Freddie. And one thing that got me worried last night, right before I went to bed, I'll just read this quote from Sheldon Keefe about whether or not Campbell's going to start for the second game versus the Flames. Mm-hmm. He's like, we'll have to see on that. We'll see how he gets through the morning skate tomorrow and make the decision there. But we're hopeful that that's going to be the case, that he's going to start.
Now, we do know he is starting. They have announced that.
They did now? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So that's good. But
so unless something else changes right before a game, I did hear that he was scheduled to start tonight. So
okay. All right. So that's good because... But we cannot have this type of quote going into the playoffs. Like, obviously, we're hoping that Freddie will get back to be 100%, being he's been off since God knows how long. But we need somebody more to be confident going into the playoffs that we're going to have a goalie that that can play almost every night anyways, right? I mean, obviously, but his record to date, 8-0-0, it's on the line, I guess, tonight versus the Flames, and hopefully it'll continue because everybody loves him.
Well, I also wonder why, like, they wouldn't be giving our new goalie, VV, a shot because yeah. What happens if you actually have to play the guy? Like, don't we want to see how he is? Like, I'm hoping that against, like, I mean, even I would have said maybe playing him tonight versus Calgary would have been the way to go because we seem to have trouble against Ottawa because I guess, you know, statistically it seems to make sense to put him in against Ottawa, but we don't often do great against them. But why aren't they giving him a shot? Like, I want to see what that guy can do.
Yeah. I mean, he's only played one of our Facebook followers. He mentioned that he played one game, I guess, previously with Columbus.
Yeah, I know.
And that's it. So.
And I don't think he won that game either.
No. Well, I don't know. I think that it would be good opportunity for him to get in there, at least just to see what he has.
100%.
Rather than maybe, like, because if Campbell needs that extra time, then
I would rather go into the playoffs with both of our top guys ready to go and feeling really good, like 100%.
It's going to be funny if Freddie comes back and plays lights out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would just, I don't know. There's a few people on Twitter that I'd be contacting, let's say that.
Well, on anyhow. That note, let's transition to our new segment, the third period. So what are we going to talk about, Chris?
So, all right. Yes, for sure. I think our listeners are going to like this and we'd love for them to give us their feedback on it. It's going to be a bit different, but you can DM us on social media or email us at ladiestalkingleafs@gmail.com. I got that straight. So I want to talk a bit about how fans are being allowed in many of these U.S. buildings. And it seems we're nowhere near close to having anybody in our buildings. So, and again, I'm not saying right now, because right now the cases for COVID are like they're going sky high, but I'm saying more in the playoffs, like, but you need to have a plan or at least have someone talking about this to allow fans in the building here in Canada. Mm-hmm. And, as of Saturday, only two U.S. teams, Chicago and Washington, don't have plans to welcome back fans in the arena this season. And I just think, like, we need to at least have some sort of talk between the government and the teams to say that there's a plan to welcome back fans. And yeah, I just think the vaccination process is moving along here, and again, not now, but for the playoffs, why can't they work out something for Canadian teams similar to what they have in the U.S.?
Well,
I don't know.
What I would say to that is I think that part of it is that in the States, it's each state is in control of their own situation there. So which explains why there's only two that aren't allowing it. So obviously, Illinois and Washington, D.C. proper have different criteria, and so they're not allowing it. The other part of the issue is that our vaccinations, we're reliant on other parts of the world to purchase vaccines from them. So whereas in the States, they're manufacturing a lot of these vaccines themselves in the U.S. proper. So therefore, their vaccination process is way farther along than ours is right now. And the other part is I don't know if we can assume also that they're not talking to the governments about this. It's just that it's not necessarily being put out there in the public. So,
well, there was
to say
an
there's
article,
no plan, we don't know that for yeah. sure.
There was an article that it was only Toronto. I think it was only Toronto that said that they had not had any discussions, like, mm-hmm. out of all the Canadian teams.
Yeah.
It was only us that did not have any discussions with the local government about fans, welcoming back fans. But I just think too, like the Rangers, for example, they're one of the more recent teams that are allowing fans now. Mm-hmm. And you either have to show proof of your vaccination. You have to show proof of a negative PCR COVID test within the 72 hours, mm-hmm. or you do the test there within 6 hours at the building and you pay mm-hmm. for it. Right. So like, why can't, like, I can't see why something like that couldn't
because apply. Our medical systems are different. Like, their system is a private system. So they can do anything they want for profit. It's not like that here. We have an equitable healthcare system here. And that means that nobody can jump the queue to get, you know, tests done or vaccinations done so that they can go see a playoff game. That's the difference.
Yeah, but if you have your vaccination,
yeah,
let's just say, and you have proof of that, like, I don't know, I just think that, like, maybe that'll be a way if people want to go somewhere, that'll be a way to get people to get vaccinated because nobody's, not enough people are getting vaccinated now. They keep lowering the age here, right?
That's partly true, but it's not as simple as that, I don't
think. Yeah, yeah. But anyways, I also think, or I also read, there's an article in our show notes if the listeners want to have a look at it on our website, but Scotiabank Arena is the first Canadian sports and entertainment venue to earn the WELL health and safety rating. So that's pretty good. The WELL rating is a standard that helps organizations assess health and safety protocols and improve everything from designs of buildings to company-wide practices. So that's, I think that's a good thing, like for us, especially we're in Toronto, right? So hopefully the other buildings in Canada also, like the Bell Centre, Montreal,
yeah,
the Rogers Arena.
I remember they all get this. When COVID first started, like they got everything in there as far as hand sanitizer stations and stuff like that. It was like from one game to the next, it was all in there. So they take that stuff seriously. So yeah, I have no doubt that once we are able to go back into a venue like that, then it's going to be very safe. I think personally, the Jays have a better shot of this because it's open air. So, yeah. You know, that's part of the issue is that it's an enclosed space, right? So, I don't know. It's difficult to say.
Personally, it's not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen this season, like the playoffs either. I mean, depending if the border opens, maybe you and I will be crossing the border to go watch the Leafs in Buffalo.
I don't know if I can get that much time off for vacation because I'll have to be hanging out in hotel.
As long as we get vaccinated and we're all good and we'll cross the border and we'll go. We don't even have to stay there overnight if they're playing in Buffalo. So we can just drive over there, watch our Leafs win.
And then quarantine.
And then come back. No, I'm saying the quarantine is done. Let's just say they decide. Done.
Yeah.
Right? Because the government in Niagara Falls, like both sides, they're all up in arms there too, which they should be.
Oh, well, yeah.
Because like the bordering's closing, right?
That's right. That's right.
So
it's difficult. We do have stricter guidelines here in Canada, no doubt. But we've also seen, you know, what the states will tolerate with when it comes to infections. So they seem to have a higher tolerance for people getting sick than we do here. So I don't know.
All right. And what's your third period discussion? What do you want to talk about for the third period?
So it kind of leads into mine because it's mine is the Vancouver Canucks COVID situation and how it might impact our division going forward. So like for up until now, we've been pretty happy with the fact that there have been no real outbreaks in the North Division. But now that's changed with what's happened with Montreal, as you mentioned. And now there's upwards of 20 people in the Canucks organization with players and coaches that are sick with the variant, one of the variants. So we can see how quickly it's spread through their organization. And now there seems to me that there's a few players that are actually quite sick also. So it could be longer than, you know, the downtime that we have seen previously. So
it's going to be minimum 2 weeks, I think. And then,
sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously sad for the players and hope. I heard too that there's a lot of like it's really taken some of the guys out on the coaching staff, and we just want them to get back to good health and for them and their families. Because even like that Travis Hamonic, like his daughter apparently has a respiratory illness. Like, that's why he didn't play last year. He chose not to play in the bubble. And now he's one of the players that has COVID.
Right.
And his daughter, who's like a little kid, I don't know how old she is, but she's young, and he has it. And obviously he's been around her. So, you just hope that they're all okay and that they get back to good health. But for the schedule, I don't understand why the league wants to jam in all the games like that they miss. Like, they're going to, they're going to end up having to reschedule. If it's 2 weeks, they're going to end up having to reschedule 8 games.
Right.
That's a lot of games.
And we've got two against them coming up too. So like
that would be on the 17th. That would technically be their first game. If it's 2 weeks, it'll be versus the Leafs. So I don't know what they're doing.
They're going to probably have to use AHL players and taxi squad players to be able to fulfill their lineup if people are still off because they are just unwell or can't, get off the list.
And then I don't really know how it works with the NBA, but there has been some rumors that the league, because there's that week of May the 12th, I think it is. That's like the buffer week that they had. May the 12th was the start date of the playoffs. So that week before that was the buffer week that the league built in case to do with getting in extra games if there was any COVID outbreaks and that. But the league is thinking of actually letting the U.S. team start the playoffs on May the 12th, on the original date, while the Canadian division would continue to finish the regular season. Now, this apparently is done in the NBA, which I don't watch the NBA that much, but I don't like that idea for hockey.
I don't either.
I don't know. I don't see
how. No, I hate that idea.
Yeah. So that's
apparently. I don't understand why they can't, like, are they, that assumes also that everything's going to go hunky-dory from here on in with the all the U.S. teams, that none of them are going to get, have COVID, because isn't Dallas dealing with some issues again? Like there's still, potential for, teams there also to go through these things. Yeah. So, I mean, I know also that I think they're not really talking about it, but I have a feeling that they are also doing serological tests on players to check for their antibodies. So probably they have an idea of how many players have already actually had it and are sort of quote unquote safe, and versus, how many are still at risk. So my guess is that probably in the American teams, there's a lot more players that have already kind of had it. So maybe there's a decreasing risk as we go along there potentially. Cause I know that this is again baseball, but Bo Bichette actually mentioned that he knows he has antibodies. Protective antibodies, but he doesn't know when he had COVID because he was asymptomatic.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. But he never actually had it, but he has the antibodies. So he knows he's protected and he's not vaccinated. So there's got to be lots of players like this in the States because the potential for them to be exposed is probably much higher. Anyways, it's going to wreak havoc like we're talking about with the way all of these things sort of fan out over the course of this next couple months. I don't know why they can't just delay it a little bit, but I can see how, the bulk of the players play in the U.S. divisions and, it would be unfair to ask them to delay also, I guess. So I could see that part of it also.
It's always changing. So we don't know. It's just something that they were talking about, and we'll have to wait and see what happens with the Canucks situation, obviously moving forward and see what happens with them.
I just really, really hope that everyone gets better there and no one has any real adverse events or any family members who get really, really sick with this. So our thoughts are going out to them.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So getting back to the Leafs and our upcoming games, I'm looking forward to the Habs. We both picked the Habs, actually. The two games versus the Habs on April 7th and 12th.
I haven't seen them forever.
Yeah. And we want to, it will be fun, even though I mentioned earlier, I am a little bit more worried about them facing them in the playoffs than other teams, but I think we would still beat them. No question about that.
I think so. I'm not worried.
No, but it just worried. Be a,
the only
be a little...
thing is it's it all depends on Carey Price, you know?
Yeah.
If he shows up as good Carey Price for that during that time, then I might worry a little bit, but yeah. But otherwise I'm not that worried.
And I mean, and this is it's I mean, it would be sad too, again, going back to the fact that there will be no fans, because the last time that there was a Habs Leafs series was 1979. So, yeah. I mean, this is like a dream situation if we were actually to play the Habs in the playoffs. So,
especially considering that, you know, normally that's it doesn't normally shake out that way. So,
no, yeah. It doesn't, because we obviously there's Boston and Tampa. Normally, we're going back to next season. We're going back to the regular division format. Like
that. I really hope they reconsider that, but maybe that's a discussion for another time.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, generally we'd have Tampa and Boston with us, and we wouldn't be playing the Habs at all or have that consideration. So those are the two games that I'm looking forward to, just to, because we haven't seen them in a while, like you said, and we need to get ready for the playoffs. And I think those are going to be two good games. And then you were also looking forward to another game.
Yeah, I think that I'm still kind of looking forward to games against Winnipeg that we have coming up. Our next one is April 15th, just because I'm still interested to see if we can continue the domination and keep measuring up well against Hellebuyck going forward. So that's the only other game that I'm kind of looking forward to in this next stretch.
Yeah, and... yeah, and that's right after the trade deadline. So,
it could be a new look.
Yes,
for us too,
and for Winnipeg too. I was hearing today about them making some moves, but it's getting more fun because we're getting close to the end of the season, and we only have as of Wednesday night. Starting Wednesday, we'll have 17 games to go, including Wednesday's game versus the Habs. Also the trade deadline is coming up, which we haven't even talked about, but we're going to save that for a special episode. If Kyle Dubas does make a big move, then we'll have a special bonus episode to cover that. So be sure to follow our podcast and you won't miss any of our episodes.
That's right. So also you can find us on social media, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at LTL1917. And you can follow us there if you don't already. Another way to connect with us is at Ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com. You can follow us there and check out our new video intro, where you can find out a little bit more about us and how our podcast came to life. If you choose, you can also support our show there and buy us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better. So find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
Yeah, and we would also really appreciate it if you could take a bit of time to give our podcast a review on whatever app you use to listen to us. You can also email us at ladiestalkingleafs@gmail.com. To give us feedback or ideas for future shows. We're always looking to hear from you guys. So as always, thank you to our healthcare workers and everything that they do. Stay safe and well, everybody. And go Leafs, go.